Hello and welcome back once again to the Mission Darts podcast, episode number 13, once again with myself, Matthew Edgar, and Andy Cornwall.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing? Unlucky for some today, episode 13, but lucky for us because we're still here.
Still, yeah. I'm surprised. Do you know, when we started this, we sat down at that dinner table. I think I had pork belly, if I remember correctly. I never forget food. Yeah. And I said, do you know what, Andy? I don't think it's going to work. However,
yeah,
it's growing every week. Nearly 2,000 people a week are listening to this now.
Yeah, and that's just on YouTube. I know we've got audio listeners as well on the podcast channels because it is available on, you know, the Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all these different channels. So people are listening as well. Yeah, fantastic. And I think just loving the fact that we chew the fat about the world of darts and our own experiences, etc. And no 2 weeks are the same for us. It's not just your boring catch up. It's bits of everything. It's bits of Edgarisms and Cornwallisms, isn't it? And as usual, lots to talk about.
Well, the first thing to talk about, something you picked up on there, you said it's available on YouTube and you also mentioned the number 2. I just want to point this out to our viewers now, people that listen to the podcast regularly, that you will be able to listen to a podcast available on YouTube for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, it will be available still, but only via playlists. You will not be able to find the video other than in the Mission Podcast playlist. That is because we have some amazing content coming for you. We've got new releases, new episodes, lots of stuff coming up over Christmas and over January. So make sure you are subscribed for all that. And we don't want it to feel a bit lost. We don't want you to have to search for it too much. So they will be available, but only via playlist.
Yeah, well said, Matt. So the people that want to listen to old episodes, and I know we've got quite a few people in the club now that have said, yeah, we've listened to every episode. They're going to be in the playlist on YouTube, so you can find them, but they won't just come up in your feed along with all the amazing content. And I mean a lot of content we've been filming, Matt, that we're going to have a regular spot for as well, aren't we now?
Every Monday, I believe it's going to be around about 5 o'clock. On a Monday. Yeah. And this is going to be sort of origination content. So at the moment, on a Wednesday, you get your series. You get Rate My Hockey, and there's going to be a new series starting very soon to lead you into the new year. We'll let you know what that is very shortly. You're coming to the podcast. You should get a little bit of insight. You should get a little bit extra, a little bit more. Absolutely. So, but the Mondays are going to be more sort of, I don't want to say one-off content, but content that's around a specific topic. That's the best way of putting it. So like this week, we looked at Richie Etau's sleeve. Can we play better with it? And it's going to be things like that. Do you know what? I'm going to spoil it. I said you get a little bit more. I'm going to spoil something for you. Next week's episode is about flights.
Mm, really good episode. But while you did touch on Richie there, one of the first comments I noticed about, and that video has been really well received, by the way, and we had to do it, didn't we? Guy's a major champion wearing a sleeve, for goodness sake. But one of the comments was actually that we may even be not of wearing it quite correctly. Apparently,
you might not be wearing it.
Further up your arm. And I did see that comment that said, oh, Andy, you need to be pushing it further your arm. I was like, hang on a minute, I've hit more 60s in the last 5 minutes than I have in the last 5 years. I'm leaving it right there. It's not moving anywhere. But really interesting that we did that. And what a difference for the two of us. You know, what a difference. You were really struggling. It was messing with your mind a little bit, wasn't it?
It causes a spring was the best way of analyzing that, wasn't it? It's a very springy, which you can see that it takes off the need to push with muscle.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing when you're doing that is because you're not pushing with muscle, you're not dropping onto a joint, certainly on the elbow. So I can see the benefits in regard to that. Plus, obviously, the compression, the tightness is going to be there to increase things like blood flow, to remove sort of any buildup of things like lactic acid, things like that may come from on the muscle. So I can see the benefits. I can see the reason. And as you said in the video, it's one of those things that you've kind of got to give a go.
Yes. And interestingly, people have been giving them a go, Matt, because they're virtually sold out. I mean, we've sold hundreds. There's still some stock, I think, on the website available. So you can still get some, but I know they're on, they've been reordered now. Because at the price, why wouldn't you want to give it a go? If a guy's want to make, you know, his first major TV tournament wearing one, for the cost that they are, and you get two. So, you know, why wouldn't you give it a go?
And let's not just undersell that. He didn't just win a major tournament. He was the best player of that tournament.
Yes.
Sometimes we get it where someone wins a tournament and you go, okay, they've won it. The drawer opened up for them. Different things happen. No, Richie Edouse was the best player that tournament by a mile.
Yeah. And as we've said, really, as we said on last week's pod, really interested now to see what happens over the next few weeks. As this podcast is going out, he could very well be playing in the Grand Slam.
Yeah, depending on the scheduling, he's going to be there, as is Martin Lutman, who came through the PDC qualifier, one of our players at Mission. Connor Scott.
Connor Scott, yeah.
On the Challenge Tour. It's a Mission takeover.
Vessel Nyman's there. Is Ryan there as well? Ryan Jones? Yeah, there's that many. I'm like, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I've got a stat for you, Matt. Just wondering whether I can pull it up here at the same time.
But while you're doing that, I'm going to pull the draw up for the Grand Slam because I just looked at that this morning.
Yeah,
groups.
Here's the stat for you that the Grand Slam players by brand. Which brand has got the most players in the Grand Slam?
That's got to be Mission.
It's Mission. We've got 6 players in the Grand Slam. 5 for Unicorn, 5 for Target, 3 Winmar, 3 Red Dragon, 2 Cosmo, etc., etc. But Mission at the top of the tree with 6 players. That is impressive. Currently, 11 Mission players at Ali Pali. 11. I mean,
how many at Lakeside?
Looking good. 1.
Who's that?
You were expecting me to say 2 then. I know you were, but I know it's 1 now because I know Connor's got his 2-year tour card, hasn't he?
Yes. So,
2-year tour card by topping the Challenge Tour.
Challenge Tour, yeah.
Yeah. So well done to him.
He could be getting a 1-year card because I think he's going to reach the top 64.
So, surely they wouldn't downgrade from a 2 to a 1.
You do because this acts as one of your years. So you get 1 year of free money, then you defend year 3.
Okay, which is the way he's playing is probably okay anyway, because yeah, he's absolutely already moving up the rankings and he's in the Grand Slam, he's in the world. So, yeah, exciting times.
Anyone who's watching this will notice I keep looking down. I'm looking at my phone.
Oh, okay.
Now, on my phone, I've been looking for the Grand Slam Group of Death. Let me know in the comment section where you're going to be our first interaction point of the podcast. For me, I'm going to go Group H, which...
Okay, let's see if I can get them up.
I'm going to go H. D deserves an honourable mention. And E could be interesting. But H, listen to this. Stephen Bunting, Josh Rock, Gian Van Veen, Vessel Nyman.
Oh, my goodness. That is... What? Pick 2 of them, then. It's 2 go through, isn't it? Yeah, 2 go through is great. Yeah.
Oh, well, if you want those sort of groups where you've got to try and... So that, I think, is going to be the highest level. But if you want those sort of groups where, like, you've...
Just give me those again, Matt. I heard Bunting, Van Veen... Bunting.
Rock,
yeah. Nyman. So I know for a fact Vessel's got a really bad record against Josh and Jan. So it's this could be the chance, you know, to get revenge. I don't know. But so 2 Mission players in that group. Oh, how amazing would that be if the 2 Mission players got through that group? I mean, come
on. Well, if you think that, check this group out.
Go on.
Chizzy, Ross Smith, Richie Edhouse, Connor Scott.
Oh, could be the same again. Wow. I mean, you give me a reason why two mission players can't get through those groups, because I can't give you a reason the way that they're playing.
Let's stay on the mission theory then. Let's go look at Group G. Group G is for greatness. That's what it stands for. Because in that group, you've got Michael Van Gerwen and Gary Anderson. In the same group. You've also got Noah Lim Van Leeuwen and Ryan Joyce.
I thought Ryan was there. Wow. So, yeah. So they're going to be looking at Noah thinking, that's my win. That's my one win. You know, it may or may not happen. But then you're looking at the other two. And do you know what? On current form, I think Gary and Ryan get through. You know, there's my big prediction there, to not put MVG in. But on current form, wow. I mean, this is good. Yeah. What a tournament it's going to be. What a tournament. It feels like, I mean, six mission players there, but it feels like they're all playing well. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you've been in this before, and sometimes at the start of the year, somebody gets in. He wins something early on, gets in, and then by the time it comes round, his form's gone. We've seen that loads of times, haven't we? But it feels like all six mission players are bang on form. You're not going to want to draw Richie Edhouse. You're not going to want to draw Vessel, Ryan, because Connor, because they're absolutely flying.
Confidence is a big thing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, going to be an amazing tournament. Like I say, it'll be on right now as we're going out live on the Sunday. And you touched on it. How exciting! You've got your podcast fix on a Sunday. You've got your new Monday night content. You've got your Rate My Hockey or new series that'll follow Rate My Hockey on a Wednesday. And then potentially you've got some shorts or other content coming up on a Friday.
Well, let's stay on Rate My Hockey for a moment, because I know this is a very, very popular show. The series in regards to seeing new venues has finished with Bradmore Farm. What a venue, Bradmore Farm.
So it is a coincidence. Normally we would say it's not a coincidence, but it is a coincidence that we filmed it last. It's a total coincidence. It was on our, you know, we set our schedule, we hit the road, and it was filmed last. And it's just so happened, and we've put it out last. Unbelievable. From the minute we walked through the door, I was blown away. You know, hang on a minute, Matt, we're going to a farm. And apparently there's a bit of a farm shop, and then they play a bit of darts. And you get there, and you're like, what? I mean, how big was that room?
And they're making it bigger. Now, this is where the problem comes. The problem, and we've highlighted this before to listeners of this show, we still get people in the comment section not quite understand the issue that we face when we record that series in regards to keeping consistent with it, because Bradmore Farm access to play is 10 out of 10. So if Bradmore Farm is 10 out of 10, how could the venue that only had four dartboards or six dartboards be a 9 or a 10?
Exactly. And that's the point that we've tried to make, isn't it? When people are saying, hang on a minute, they've got six dartboards and you're saying access to play is only an 8. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Well, that's because, as I always say, you've always got to leave one out there. Now, look, You could take that as far as you want. You could say, well, 32 boards, mate. What if you find somewhere with 64 boards? Well, I don't think, you know, I think once you get to 32 boards, you've kind of hit the 10. You've hit the 10, and anything more than that will also be a 10. So, yeah, I get that.
But we love legends.
Always try and leave a board. Oh, phenomenal.
And that was 10 out of 10, but I had 12 boards. So if 32 is a 10, how can 12 be 10?
So
what would incredible be the best thing for us, and the only way we're ever going to get those scores as accurate as possible, is if we went and seen all the venues and then went back and filmed them after seeing all the venues in the series. Otherwise, there's always going to be a few inconsistencies in there. But with that in mind,
you're never going to be able to do that.
It makes me think of a really good spin-off show we could do, Andy.
Okay.
What if we made a Rate My Hockey perfect venue based on all the categories and picking our favorite one. Because, for example, was it Shep Wells? You loved it for facilities and ambience.
Yeah.
But you didn't like it as well, didn't you? So when
the outdoor play area, it's brilliant.
So absolutely maybe we brilliant. Could build the perfect venue using the places we visited from Series 2.
Yeah, I
like because you would be Shepwell's facilities, absolutely. Access to play, Bradmore Farm. And we should do like a top of the best of the best.
Okay, let's do that. We'll do that and we'll bring that out on a Wednesday.
Perfect. Some more Rate My Hockey still to come your way. And now that'd be great there because people can get involved and tell us their favourites as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We don't normally, Matt, we've got so much to talk about today and we don't normally jump in with comments at this stage. You kind of leave them till later on, but we'd like to mix it up a little bit. And one or two of them are kind of relevant with stuff we've already talked about. So I kind of want to just chuck a couple of things out there from comments, if that's okay.
Okay.
Shiloh Evans 9241 has said, what kind of increase in sales did you see from Richie's win? Great question. I'm not going to start naming numbers, but certainly, of course, we did see a big increase in Richie's darts, which is a great dart, by the way. If you like a straight, long barrel with a fair bit of grip on that, gorgeous dart.
Oh, by the way, at this point, there's not too much I can add to, obviously, that conversation about sales. You can talk about sleeves. You can talk about his darts. However, I really need a wee. So what I'm going to do... is while you're talking, answering this question, I'm just going to remove myself from stage.
We finally got rid of him. 16 minutes in. Right. Okay. Bye bye. See you, Matt. So, guys, you remember all the Mickey taking from Mr. Edgar going on to me about needing the toilet every 5 minutes. Okay. I found out that was like a lactose intolerance. Every time I was having a coffee, I then needed the toilet, and it turns out it was lactose, and I've stopped drinking lactose in my milk, and I'm fine. And now Edgar, 15 minutes in, and off he goes. So back to sales. Yeah, sleeves have gone mad. I know there's only a few sizes left, so if you do still want to try a sleeve that Richie's been using and endorsing, then please get out there and get yourself a mission. It's called the Mission Reach, the sleeves, and give those a go, because in the video, if you haven't seen it yet, the video that Matt and I put out on Monday, I loved it. I really loved it. I haven't had a chance to practice with it on since due to schedules, but I am going to give it a go because literally I had it on 5 minutes and I hit like, I don't know how many 140s, tons, 125s, 135s. It was incredible. Matt put it on and I could sense straight away he was a bit unsure. Now, it should actually be for somebody like Matt that's had an injury to help them with that injury. Because of the way it works like a spring on your arm, it doesn't use as much energy out of your arm. So I'm sure he'll give it another go at some point. Oh, unfortunately, he's popped back in now. Those of you listening on the... on the audio channels, Mr. Edgar has come back from his toilet break and I'm now seeing his face on screen again. But yeah, no, I was just finishing off on the Edgar sleeve there. A couple more things. One that we've mentioned before, Matt, Jay Hugh has said, how do you balance the gym and the darts? Great podcast, by the way. Now, we've talked about this quite a lot, so I don't want to, you know, go on for 10 minutes about it. And I think a conversation I had with Alan Souter about it was really key, was don't work your arms the day before you're going to play darts. Would you agree with that?
It's not just arms. It's everything, isn't it? It's shoulders, chest, different bits. So the other thing is how you train it as well. So obviously you've got resistance training, weight training. There's different, you know, what you do with the weight. You know, weightlifting isn't just a case of pick up the heaviest thing you possibly can. There are ways in which you can use it even as a cardio sort of sense of training.
Can I ask you a question that's not been asked, Matt? Can you be too relaxed? Like, say you went to maybe there's a gym nearby or spa or something near where you're playing, and you go and have a sauna and a steam room and a jacuzzi, and you're like, and then you go and play darts. Could you be too relaxed?
Yeah. I can't play. I hate it. I struggle. So I play better with intensity. And that's where I think something like Lakeside is going to really benefit my style of play, because I can play with intensity. Because what you can't do, you can't go into a tournament where you've got 7-8 hours worth of play and play every game intense, and you've got to try and manage that day. But when you've got one game and you've got an entrance and a walk on and everything to get you in there as well, so you've got all this production as well that's going to keep you on it, so we say, that is easier to find the intensity levels. But yeah, I think there's sometimes that everyone's just like, relax, 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 that you get too calm. And ultimately, you can't play calm. Like, when I play football, I like to play with a little bit of fire in the belly, so to speak. And as I got
older, edge.
Yeah.
Bit of edge. Yeah.
And as I got older with it, you know, I went to play a little bit of Sunday League football not too long ago, and I was doing a bit. And because I was one of the older guys and one of the more of the voices of it, that it tend to be that I had to be calmer to try and influence the thing. And with that, I think I played a million times worse, because I was just so calm on the pitch that I didn't have that edge. I was not an aggressive player, but I was very driven and focused in my own approach. And then when it became more about a different role, I couldn't find that.
So I'm going to give you that from a different angle, and something that we are probably going to do a video on in the future. And mine's relates to food and drink. So when I went to a venue, if I had, and I knew what my triggers were, so if I had something that was kind of quite digestive intensive, so something that needs a lot of digesting, that, by the way, this is a fact. I don't know how I know it, but the reason we all want to fall asleep after our Christmas dinner is because turkey is the meat that requires the most blood for digestion. So what it does is it drains all the blood from your brain to your stomach to digest it, and hence you feel sleepy. That's actually a fact. It's one of them things. So having a big something to eat, and then like something like a cup of tea or a cappuccino, you know, with warm milk in it, I find myself then sat in a chair going, oh, I feel great. Yeah, I'm really relaxed now. Right, Cornwall, you're on next. Get up. I couldn't play because I've gone into, it's 9 o'clock at night, I just want to watch Netflix. I'm not ready to play darts anymore. So I learned that quite early, and learned that, right, that's not the right thing to do. Eat differently, drink differently. You know, again, you don't drink sugar. Yeah, I think we're going to do a video on that in the future about food and drink.
Now, I've wanted to dabble in this market for a bit. I've spoke about nutrition. I've spoke about all the extras, the things that people can do to make their performance better. Now, the issue we have is whether we're making a video about it or whether we're making a product about it, you are right. And we know this conversation. I'm now going to tell the viewers because they don't know it. I went to Andy about 3 months ago. I said, Andy, I've solved a problem. There's a massive problem from what I've experienced with my years of playing professional darts or traveling at the moment with the WDF circuit, whatever circuit I'm on, even down to youth darts, JDC, PDC development tours. There is a major problem in regards to nutrition. I've listened to the players and the feedback of which they have provided, and I've come up with this product that is going to solve the problem. And Andy said to me, and probably very rightly so, says, that is an amazing product. You have solved the problem, but the consumer needs re-educating. And I'm not going to be able to re-educate the consumer with that product. Same as if we make a video, some people will listen to it, but they won't change. If we make the product, some people agree with it, but they won't buy it, or they'll buy it, but they won't use it. So it was an amazing product that would solve the problem. Because like you say, people don't like plain bloated. I've heard the expression, don't eat till you're beat. That's a very common one out there at the moment. People don't like playing full. So what it was it was high calorie, high nutrition with everything you're going to need in it, but without giving you the volume of mass of food that will make you feel bloated. And it solved the problem. It would 100% solve the problem if there was a market out there of people that wanted this type of thing, where actually they're more than happy to shovel a pie in or
Because it's the reason why there's lots of alcohol still consumed. It's going to be a fair while until we move on a couple of generations. I mean, not a lot of the young lads now, they just drink water. That's it, just water. And I think it's a couple of generations' time before the old school players like me and similar, you know, we've moved on and nutrition's more important. Thinking about how do I get through the day, you know, without having a bacon sandwich and then a pie and then some chips, and why do I feel sluggish and why didn't I play my best game? And well, it's all because of what you're putting in your body. It's as simple as that. So I think we're a bit off that yet before people, you know, stop the drinking, stop the eating badly, and then things will have to change.
We're getting closer.
And one question I think I've asked you before was relevant on the podcast is, can you take your own food into a pro tour? And I think the answer is no.
No, you used to be able to.
Allergies.
Yep, you used to be able to, but you can't anymore. So again, major problem for
me. That makes it tricky. Yeah, that makes it tricky because if you go in and sorry?
Sports halls, leisure centres,
yeah,
arenas, who do what? Yeah. Burgers, hot dogs, chips. So what are you going to eat? You know, so yeah
and the solution to not eat, Matt, that's not a solution. That's okay for an hour and a half, but if you're playing 6 hours, what are you gonna do? Not eat all day?
Professional players who get up in the morning and go, I'm a bit late for breakfast, don't want to feel bloated, I'm not gonna go.
That's gonna be very, very tough come 3 o'clock in the afternoon for your body to keep giving you that adrenaline boost when it's got no reserves in there. Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll do a video on that, I think, because it's quite a lot to talk about there. And I think we'll probably come from different angles and we'll have a good chat about that. So that's a good one. So a couple of people have commented on, we said predictions for the Worlds. And obviously I'm guessing those will change after the Grand Slam this week. People will think, oh, didn't see he was playing well. But the ones so far, predictions for the Worlds, Tommy Johnston, RG6BO, has said the final will be Littler and Decker. Luke Littler and Mike Decker.
I mean, it's brave to predict the win because they might not even play. They might play en route, you know, cause the rankings can change. We've got the Slam. We've got the Players' Championship Finals. So they might even play before. So, yeah, I think it's pretty impossible at the moment to name.
It is, but I love this next one.
But I love this next one.
Yeah. So this is at Ned Method. Littler goes out first round. That's bold. Noppert is my surprise.
Okay.
Bold again. And Gary Anderson wins it, beating Humphries in the final. I mean, like, get down to the bookies now with those four predictions. And if that all comes true, you know, you're going to be a very rich man. But
if that happens, I will do the podcast after it. Naked.
Please no. can I turn the where I get to see you off then,
doing a handstand?
Yeah, right. Two more interesting comments here while we're on comments. I can't even read what that says. Charge TTER92. And he started off complaining here, so this is why I want to read this out. We don't just read the good stuff out. I'm really, really disappointed with the Mission brand. I had a fitting with them 2 years ago, and they've already discontinued the dart that I was fitted for. So I'm the right person to answer this.
Okay.
Obviously, I do the precision fittings, as you know, and he's been fitted for a dart that's been discontinued. And I felt like I don't want to instantly jump in really defensive, but to just simply talk along the lines of, it's the same in any sport, in any industry. If a product doesn't sell, it'll be replaced. And the fact that you were fitted for it is unfortunate, that dart, just for whatever reason, and there are a million reasons we could talk about. We could do a whole podcast on why darts are discontinued and new ones coming. The simple thing is, you can't keep bringing out 10 new tungstens every couple of months without discontinuing some, because otherwise you'd end up with a catalogue of 1,000 darts, you know, and some of them you might sell once a week. So as with any business, the new comes in, you look at the old, the ones that don't sell as well, unfortunately, have to go. And so, like I said, I don't want to be too defensive about it. It's just the way of the world. And the fact that it's 2 years ago, it's unfortunate. It happens, and it will happen again. I could fit somebody for a set of darts tomorrow. I don't have a crystal ball. If that dart, for whatever reason, doesn't sell over the next 12 months, it could well be discontinued. I do say to people, you know, if you're mega, mega, if this is going to be your thing, you're going to try and get to county, you're going to, maybe you want to be a pro, get yourself a couple of sets, at least a couple of sets, because then you've got backup, you've got a spare set, you know, you're looking at years ahead there with that sort of thing. But it's just unfortunate. And I'm sorry, I apologize that you can no longer buy those darts. But that is just the way of the world, I'm afraid. There's a trainer that I used to buy. They don't make them anymore. I ended up buying a set on eBay, paying double what they were just to get them. And then I thought, do you know what? It's time just to find a new one.
So putting my knowledgeable consumer head on for a moment. So if that was 2 years ago with the fitting, that means there must have probably been on... with the product launch and with everything going into that, that means they would have been there at least 12 months before. That means that dart had at least a 3-year shelf life, which for a dart in 2024, 3-year shelf life is very, very impressive. I can't think of many darts that last more than 3 years.
No.
And not Michelin. I mean, darts in general.
Yeah, that's the thing.
What darts, I mean... The Navigator lasted a long time.
Well, even the player darts, Matt. But players change every year. Yeah. You know, we're already on Richie Edhouse version 2, Connor Scott version 3, Josh Rock version 2. I know there's a James Harrell version 2 coming. Do you know what I mean? And these are relatively new players, and we're already on, you know, successive versions. So,
Phase 16 or 17, you know.
I think it's something like that, and that's in his target days. I think in his unicorn days, he God knows how many phases. Then I remember him using the pencil thin darts at the very beginning. Yeah. So it's just unfortunate, and I just wanted to read that out. And then you've been asking for comments on Rate My Hockey about how we can make it better. Somebody got in the comments last year and said, well, what about, you know, when you're doing the Andy does the beer, why not be a bit more general? And we created the facilities category. Been so successful because now we look at car park, you know, has it got a Chinese restaurant in there? You know, waiter service, what's the drinks like? Do they do food? What are the snacks like? It's a brilliant category. So somebody's put another good episode. I personally think a leg of 501 against each other with the house darts. So when we do the house dart section, could we have a quick 501, or in my case, maybe better if it was 301, with the house darts?
I don't think we can have a leg of 501 because I think we're going to add a lot of minutes to the program that become skippable. Because how many times do we want to see me and you play a leg of 501 when we get to episode 10? However,
in 29 darts.
However, one thing that wasn't in series 2 that was in series 1 was we always used to throw them, and we didn't really throw them in series 2. So maybe what we can do is we can take that suggestion and put some form of 9 dart challenge in there, maybe, that we do every week, and have a secondary leaderboard, house dart, 9 dart challenge or something. Something that maybe just make it a little bit, but I think a leg of 501 will take too long.
What about with the house darts, we have either 3 or 6 darts each and we total up the score.
Yeah. That works for me.
You know,
and I think for the watch as well.
Yeah, so a good suggestion that we'll take a variation off for series 3, which I know people will be super excited, which will be coming in the new year. It's already been planned. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. It's more exciting places. We're traveling all over the place yet again. It's a road trip. Series 3 will be coming. Yeah, and we've touched on Bradmore Farm this week's episode already, which is just incredible. And the fact that that finished last in the series, you know, the last video of the series was incredible. Are there any other venues like that out there? You know, we'll find out in Series 3.
Yeah.
We will find out in Series 3. We're 35 minutes in, Matt. I'm just going to say a number to you. Because this was your idea last week. And the first person that gets in the comments with this number is going to win a prize. And the number's 57. They have said it. So if you're listening now, you're still listening, you've heard that, get in the comments, reply with that number. The first person to do it is going to win a prize. I'm moving on now.
Well, that was kind of my suggestion. It's
Yeah. I've just taken it.
It kind of was. Let's remind on my.
I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to dwell on it because people now, if they're jumping around in the video, you've had your one chance now. You've heard it. Get in the comments. We might change it next week. We're going to change it every week to different things. It'll be different points in the podcast. So if you're listening, and you've heard that, get in the comments. You'll win a prize. I'll get back to you. Right. You know how you drop things on me?
You know, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after. Right. I always want to drop something on you because you've been doing it to me for ages and you are the expert on this. I want to know.
Hot dogs.
Protein shakes. No, I want to know things that you can't wear in the PDC.
Hats.
Okay. So at no point can you wear a hat? Not even on the Pro Tour?
No. Can't wear headwear.
You can't wear anything on your hat, on your head. Okay.
Mankini.
Does that include religious?
I think religious is the only thing that you get covered.
Okay. So you could. So the religious headwear that can be worn. Okay. What else?
The hat. Mankinis.
I'm not sure. Is that specified as mankinis or is it like you can't play in your underwear or a swimsuit? Or I don't think it will say mankinis. Because please tell me you don't own one of them, Matt, because that's a vision I don't want in my head.
Well, Matthew maybe for Christmas content.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Is there any footwear restrictions?
You saw where I was going with that then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. For those listening will know, we were going off on an Edgar trail there, of which there was no way back. So I've had to step in, get it back to the original question. Is there anything you can't wear on your feet? Can you play in slippers?
I think you can't.
Could you go to the PDC?
Okay. And it has to be so you can wear trains. Remember, years ago, you couldn't wear trains. Andy Fordham was the only black shoes to wear trainers.
Remember that.
It used to be black shoes. Then it was dress shoes. So you could wear black or brown or grey. Then it's become, I think you can wear trainers, but it has to be a consistent colour. You can't wear things that have logos or branding on. So it can't be like with a white night tick. If it's a black tick that blends into the trousers, that's okay. Into the train, it's okay. But it can't have like standout logos and things.
Because that would count as an extra sponsor, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't wear branded things. So, like, you can't even wear a Nike top. You have to cover up the Nike logo.
Unless they're sponsoring you.
Yes. Course. But then you've got to be in the actual sponsorship locations on the shirt.
That would have to be, yeah. Okay, I get that. What about trousers now? I'm not going to say pants because every time I say pants, you're like, oh, I just have to tell you that what Andy really means is trousers. He doesn't mean pants. That's another northern thing. Trousers are pants up north. So
I'm sure I might have told you this story before. This is the viewer I'm speaking to, not you, Andy. But I've not been with Mission very long. And I'm driving up. I think it might have been my first filming day. And Andy's rang me on my drive. All right, Matt, you're all right. You're on time. Yeah. I'm on my way. Because I'm just about to set off myself. Just wondering, are you wearing pants today? Like, say that again. And then he's like, are you wearing pants? And I'm like, Andy, I think we're getting something lost in translation. Because to me, pants is underwear. And he's like, no, like your pants, like your long pants. You mean trousers?
Yeah, I meant trousers. Yeah. So, is there a restriction? Can you wear jeans?
You can't. No. So you can't wear jeans or like corded trousers.
Okay, but trousers are okay. I don't think there's restriction on colour yet, is there? Because
it's meant to be black trousers, but you can apply to have different trousers as long as it matches your branding. So if it is an add-on, is it an extra to your shirt or it matches your personality? Because in the past, you used to only be able to... So the highest ranked player would get to dictate the shirt. So for example, if I had a green shirt and I played Michael Van Gerwen, I would have to change my shirt if I played Michael. I wouldn't be able to play in green because he wears green.
Oh.
So I'd have to take two colours if you're the lowest ranked player. However, that rule's now been eliminated in darts because they said people are losing their brand identity by having to change colour. So you can expand your brand. So Peter Wright wears it. Steve Hine wore muffins on his trousers, but he had to ask for permission to do that. So you have to ask for permission.
Yeah, Alan Souter wears tartan trousers.
Yes.
As does Scott Williams, I think.
Yeah, so that's okay. As long as, one, you've checked it over first. So you've always got to remember, if you're in one of these events, always ask first because they can, and they have pulled people on having the wrong attire before. And, you know, we've seen it on the Euro Tour when someone goes up in a polo top. That's because they've turned up with a shirt that doesn't meet requirements. So they go, right, you've got to wear that. And they just give them a polo shirt. There you go.
So as when I always start, these things start jumping into my head. Can you name me a player that plays in a long-sleeved shirt? Past
Mark
or present?
Borelli.
Was one, and I've got another.
Co Stompy.
Oh, Matthew Egger, you are on form today.
The Oracle
this is
of
why
God.
We have him on, guys, because he repeats the stats. Stats-o-mat. Co Stompy, famous. Remember him in the long sleeve. You never forget that action, would you? That's not one when you teach.
Oh, different, wasn't it? Yeah,
incredible. So no restrictions on long sleeves. No restrictions, I don't think, on collars. You can play in a T-shirt.
You have to have a collar.
You have to have a collar. Right, so you can't play in a T-shirt.
No.
That being said, there are shirts now that are classed as collars that don't have wings. Are these called wings? I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening.
Yeah, it's fashion. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a zip.
Nor do I. Like Joe Cullens is very...
Yes. Yeah.
But it's still a classic collar. You can wear a T-shirt underneath, but you have to have a collared top.
Right. And you can't therefore wear a hoodie jumper because it wouldn't have a collar. You can't wear that over the top, I guess. So you can wear things underneath, but you can't. Right. So we're on collared shirt, trousers.
Remember the Beast of the East that hit?
Yes.
Now, I played in that UK Open, and do you know what? I was seeded for that UK Open. So I was in the top 32, and I was seeded for the UK Open. Now, I would not have gone if I wasn't seeded. It was that bad. Like, the roads was terrible.
I believe so, yeah.
Shut the roads down to get in, and literally all insurance was invalid, and it was literally, if you go in there, you're at your own risk. Police were telling you not to drive down the road, and we did it anyway. So we got there. They shut down the main stage and they had the backstage. So it was that cold. The pipes had frozen and there was no heating. So eventually in the evening session, they got these air blowers, but people had hand warmers in their pockets and people was playing in hats, gloves. And I believe Mark Walsh, I think it was, played in a hoodie and a hat. And I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he actually got a DRA referral for it.
No. Really?
Because he wore it over the top rather than underneath, where I think Mickey Mansell wore one, but he had it underneath his shirt where he put it over the top. And I tell you, right, you went for a wee in the toilet and the water was ice. You was weeing on ice. It was that cold.
Wow.
I was in bed, right? Me and the missus, we had the hotel off-site. So we was off-site. We was fine. We had heating. We had the radiator on full blast. We was in bed together, fully dressed, dressing gowns on, pajamas on, the lot, and in the same bed. And we were shivering with the radiator on full blast because the wind was battering down the road that much. It was whistling. You could hear it. It was horrific. It was one of the, like, we came out and the snow was up to our knees. Like, a 10-minute walk to the venue took us 40 minutes because you had to keep climbing out of the snow to walk down. It was one of the most horrific experiences ever. But I think I got to like the fourth or fifth round. I think fifth round. So, at least it made it work.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you remember it. If you got beat first round 6-0, you're like, no, I don't even remember being there.
Well, I think I remember sitting in the hotel watching the draw, and I think I drew John Henderson. And I think he really struggled with the cold. And Steve West gave me hand warmers to put in my pockets. He's use these. And I used them. And he didn't have any. So obviously I had a big advantage. Then ironically, next round, I played Steve West. So he's like, can I have my hand warmers
anymore? But he wants it.
I lost that game, right? And he broke my throw twice. And both times he broke me was with a 170 finish.
Amazing.
Brutal.
Amazing.
Brutal. Amazing. I think it was 10-7 or 10-8, and the two breaks of throw were with 170s.
Regulars to the podcast will have now just clicked to that bit and gone, 170 finish. I know what he's talking about. That's Gary Anderson again.
I've got some bad news, actually. So when I make videos, when I first started working with Mission and people up there, they made me a dartboard. It was a dartboard that says, I beat Gary Anderson with a 170 finish.
Okay.
It's a personalized dartboard. It's got Edgar TV on it. I take down my dartboard, my Samurai Infinity, to put that up whenever I make videos and content.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's now at the point where I think it's done. I don't think it's got any life left in it.
Oh, you actually play on it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking you just had it up in the background, but you actually...
No, I actually use it. And I think now it's at that point where the I beat Gary Anderson with a 170 finish board is about to be retired.
So is it going to say Lakeside Champion 2024 on it, the next one?
No, I'll just use the Infinity. It's great. But that's the thing I'm using a lot on it. As we now know, Mission are sponsoring Lakeside. So what I need to speak to you about this, actually.
Let's speak.
We'll do it live.
Let's do it live.
So one thing I want to do, I want to practice on the Samurai Infinity because that's the board we're going to play on. So that's the board I'm going to use all the time now. Get used to that.
Okay.
Do you know what color the surround is? At the moment, I've got a red one up. But if you know what the surround color is, I want to put the right surround color up as well so it's on my eye.
Do I know what the surround color is on the stage at Lakeside? No,
are they going to use the black one or...?
I'd be guessing. I know the PDC always used red, didn't they, for a while?
No. Here's the thing. So when we went to the World Championships, right, I went on stage at Ali Pali, and every year I always said something felt a bit off on my eye. So when we went on stage, I went on and I had a couple of practices, and I said to the players marshal, I said, when I'm practicing up here, you're using a blue ring. It was in the days of William Hill sponsoring it. I said, using a blue ring. And when I go back, it's black. So the depth, throw perception. I said, throw perception on stage feels longer to me because of the surround color. I said, can I get one of those blue surrounds on my practice board? So they brought me a blue surround for the practice board. And in 10 legs, I won 9 and lost 1. I won 3-0. 3-0, losing 1 leg. So every time now, that's something in my mind that I need to use the same colours.
Well, those that are regular to Rate My Hockey, Matt, will know how easily you are distracted playing darts. So my instant question is going to be to you, the cameras to the left of the dartboard that focus on the player's face and throw action, etc., they move all the time. How did they not distract you?
They shouldn't move when you're throwing. They should move when you're approaching. So okay. They very rarely move when you're actually in play, when you're actually at the hockey throwing. But yeah, they sometimes do catch your eye. But this thing is, right, I never go onto a stage, and this is maybe where Lakeside's different this year, and I've got to try and change this mentality. I've never gone onto the stage with that sort of win, 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 play, play, play. Sort of. I've always gone on stage or to those that this is a reward for all the great hard work I've done, and I'm going to make sure that I go up there and like enjoy as much of it as I can, and whilst keeping the focus. And I focus in different areas. So what I don't do is I don't start at win the game and work backwards. I start backwards and work towards the win. That's probably where I'm maybe a bit negative at the moment with Lakeside, because I'm thinking too much about the result. And the result is a byproduct of doing everything correctly. And I shouldn't think about the result. You don't think about the win. The win comes because you do everything right. And I've got to get those things right. And that's where I'm trying to get back in. Because I've not played on stage for a few years now.
No, and the Lakeside is very, very different, Matt. Very different to a PDC stage. The players much nearer to you. The crowd are much nearer to you. It's much smaller. It's a lower ceiling. It's all going to feel different. So, you know, my advice for you would be to speak to our own Daryl Fitton, who's been on that stage many, many times, and have a chat with him and just kind of see what to expect. I was always a fan of when you get to the venue to try and get on that stage, and obviously you'll be on that stage. We're going to be doing some filming on that stage before you even play. But I was a fan of that, just walking to the stage and just getting a feeling. You know, I would still do that today, even if I was going to an open. Just even if you're not having a throw, just go and have a feel of what the stage feels like before you get on there, because then you're a bit more better prepared.
And enjoy it and take it in. Mm. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I think I spoke to someone at the Euro Tour when I was doing commentary. The name hopefully will come to me. And I said about that, just enjoy it. Like, because what you do is you end up getting...
Oh, this was the guy that beat you in the final, Matt.
No, that was Andy Davidson. Same sort of thing.
Yeah, you were saying to him, enjoy the moment. He was saying, I'm sorry about that. And blah. You were saying, just enjoy the moment, because you don't...
Yeah, same level of conversation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, what we think is there's so much more ahead of us than there is behind us, and we forget that it could all change very quickly. And we think we're on this upwards curve all the time. There's more greater stuff in the future. That might be your moment. Enjoy that. Enjoy the stage. Enjoy the time. So I'm very well aware that I'm looking forward to enjoying that. And I'd say, absolutely, get in there early, take it in, have a walk round, soak up everything you can, because, you know, certainly me, I don't know if that's it. That's the luxury I've got.
We start doing any more videos than we're currently doing, Matt, you're not going to have time to play, I'm afraid, because we're putting some amazing stuff out. I'm doing some regular content for you guys now, and a lot of it is what you've been asking for as well. That's the key here, is that we're not just putting, you know, any content out. We've looked at what people are wanting to know, and there's going to be content for beginners, there's going to be content for advanced players, fun content as always. Lots and lots. So do make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Mission YouTube channel, guys, because you're not going to miss the stuff that's coming up in the next few months that Matt and I have been busy filming.
Here's one I want to do. I'm going to drop this one on you. I think as brand manager, we should row up 10 products, and you got to go down, and we'll go higher or lower. Is this product more expensive than the last one? You know, was it Prices Right? Was it, or whatever it was? And
Play Your Cards Right. Bruce Forsyth. Play Your Cards Right. Yeah.
And if you get it wrong, I get to pie you in the face.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks. And what happens if I get it right? Do I get to pie you in the face?
No, you get it right. You just...
So the forfeits are only on me, not you. You just turn up, ask the questions, and happy days.
Pie you in the face. think it'll be a great episode. How well does Andy know Mission Darts? If he gets it wrong, do you know what? If you get it wrong, I'm sure the CEOs of the company would love you to get pied in the face for not even knowing the products.
Sure they would. Yeah,
that's what you get. Do your research. Yeah. Pie.
I'm fairly confident that I know the Mission products, and as we know, equipment is my speciality. So I'll be ready for you when we decide to do that, Matthew. I'll be ready. Don't you worry.
Well, I'm not going to tell you when it is now. So then,
no, I know that you never do anyway. You just drop it on me in the middle of the podcast and go, I wasn't going to do this, Andy, but I'm going to do it now anyway. Let's do it live.
Pie you in the face. Oh,
dear. Well, that's another week done, Matt. Another week done. I'm off to watch the Grand Slam now. Rest of that. It's Sunday night.
Oh, and by the way, I've also got to put this out there. You're probably aware of this already, Andy, but we now have more than 11,000 subscribers on the Mission YouTube channel. This has got to be one of the fastest growing channels in darts.
I think so. I think we were at about 3,000 when we started in January, Matt. So, yeah, I'm not giving you a congratulations yet. We'll wait till the end of the year. We'll wait till December the 31st when we're doing our podcast on New Year's Eve.
We'll wait not till my...
yeah, and we'll see where we're at then. But, yeah,
we'll
please,
wait till my Christmas gift, hey, Andy?
As Matt says every week, the more subscribers, the more budget for Matt to go and do whatever it is that we want to do. Amazing stuff. So please give us a like. Please get in the comments. And something we've never asked for before, is there anything you want to hear from me and Matt in the weekly podcast? Is there any topic that you've thought, oh, I'd love you guys to give us a take on that? Get in the comments and let us know what that is. Could be anything. Doesn't even have to be darts related, Matt, does it?
No. no. And... if any of you long-time listeners know where Jan Dekker is, imagine the Christmas present that Andy could get if we could find Jan Dekker.
Yeah, that's going to be it. Yeah, that's going to be great, isn't it? We found Jan. Yeah, I'd love that. If you've recently seen Jan and you've got a picture with him, send it to YouTube at missiondarts.com. We'll give you a mention on the podcast because we'd love to know what's happened to Jan. And more importantly, his white coat.
Mr. Coates. I don't think it's going to get any better than that. So we'll leave it there. We'll see you next week.
We will. Thanks for watching, guys.